troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cry to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more.
Watchman Weekly. I'm Garrity. I'm joined with co-hosts Bill Johnson and Chris Ardern. The Watchman Weekly can be found at watchmanweekly.com and threshingfloor-radio.com. Good evening, Bill. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening.
Hello, gentlemen. Glad to be here this evening.
Audience, I would say this was one of the most lively pre-shows we've ever had, and we have a lot of information to convey. We're going to take some time to move the show along at a pace that'll be scriptural and the proper rendering of those scripturals. We're going to do a short current events. Brother Chris?
Yeah, I don't know if I can say anything that people don't already realize, you know, with this, this Osama bin Laden, circus act and the birth certificate. And I'll just say something that, in the truth community, in the truth movement, you know, I make my rounds and I have a few people I enjoy listening to. And a guy that I found a couple, you know, when I first woke up was Webster G. Tarpley. You know, he's really a neat guy. You know, I've got burdens for these people too, you know, I mean, and he's been interjecting, you know, even, you can just tell the Lord's tugging on his heart too. But, you know, a guy like Webster Tarpley has been putting this stuff out for years. And all this stuff that he's been warning about and, in the flesh, if you will, but just exposing, you know, the elite and all this stuff is coming true now. And, you know, these guys are really, a guy like Webster Tarpley is really coming into his own. And I've been following his geopolitical stuff that is just fascinating. And, he is just dead accurate on everything he says. I mean, he's been nailing this stuff for months, you know, and it's really neat to see it and all the stuff he's saying now. But, you know, he's been nailing, you know, he just nailed this, fiasco with this, Osama bin Laden being killed again, you know, and, you know, it's really, the evidence is really clear that he died of kidney failure, soon after 9/11. Osama bin Laden has never been charged with 9/11. His code name when he was a CIA asset was Tim Osman. Henry Kissinger was in charge, he was put in charge of one of the fraudulent 9/11 investigations until he was relieved when, one of the mothers for 9/11 Truth, you know, exposed the fact that the Bin Laden family was a client of Kissinger and Associates, you know, Henry Kissinger's law firm. I mean, this stuff is just so, these guys are just evil to the teeth, you know, and I don't know if that's a term, but you know what I'm getting at.
You can coin the phrase.
Yeah, I'll do that right now, I guess. But I'm just going to say, I don't know what more I can tell you, but it's been pretty neat that Webster, what is it, tarpley.net. I would just point people to that website. I'm giving it, you know, he's got a really good pulse on what's taking place in the Middle East. And, you know, the way now they're going to, what they're probably going to end up doing, see, is they're going to blame, you know, Al-Qaeda is probably going to pull something now, whoever Al-Qaeda really is. You know, it's a creation of the CIA. And, and the way that they allegedly found them in Pakistan is what the real deal is here. This is the key, because what they want to do is they want to invade Pakistan. And I think, you know, this is what they're fomenting right now. And somehow, some way, there's going to be another false flag. I mean, there's a real feeling of dread in the truth community out there that there's a false flag coming. And I'm not too caught up in it anymore, because I have the peace of the Lord. And I'm watching it, and I'm very interested, and I'm just hoping as these events unfold, you know, my loved ones will wake up. That's what I'm looking for. But, you know, I'm just going to say that, you know, this birth certificate, all this nonsense, Webster Tarpley is a guy that's really putting out some good information right now, and it's tarpley.net. So anybody that wants to, you know, you can grab some MP3s on there, and he's just got a pretty good analysis of what's taking place. And not saying he's all, you know, he's got a slanted view, you know, he'll never touch the Zionists, you know, he's tied with Genesis Communications. There's some, you know, control going on there. I don't know what to say about that, but, you know, he's very aware of the British imperialism is what this is, against the East, which is, you know, as we know in Scripture, is the North and the South. But, hey, that's what I had to say about current events. You know, I can't even imagine what we'll see next week in this, you know, comic book, end times screenplay we're seeing playing out in front of our eyes. But, you know, we're here with the spiritual connections, and you know, that's where I want to point everybody. And that's what I had to say tonight about current events. So turn it back over to you, Bob.
Thank you, Chris. Brother Bill?
Yeah, current events. Actually, they're all in the Bible, all the current events.
I know. Yeah, we're going to do current events all night tonight.
I would advise that if people don't want to get into the truth and get into the Spirit and get into the Scriptures, at least go get an Archie and Jughead book then.
Because yeah.
I think there's more to be learned there than what they're putting on the news. It's embarrassing what's on.
And the Scripture says in the end times they will believe fables. And, you know, we see that tied to the Scripture with the false doctrine, but it also applies to the secular, too. I mean,
absolutely. I'm seeing all the time Yahoo, every other day now, those Yahoo ads are just embarrassing, the news they put on. Studies suggest. Today I was reading one about salt. If you take salt, it can remove anxiety. It says studies suggest.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that's another way of saying experts say.
Another dialectic, yeah.
Yeah, studies suggest.
Yeah.
What they did is they took a grant. They probably stole somebody's money that was working a job that can't feed his family. The government or the corporation or the government gave somebody a grant to go study this somewhere in a laboratory. And, oh, by the way, we want you to come up with these results, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's how the whole system works. It's just laughable.
It is.
If it wasn't so sad.
Yeah, the only hope we have is the Scripture. And to get into the Word of God and to stand in the holy place and know that, you know, everything's okay, you know, as long as you're, you know, within God's will. You know, being outside of God's will is no place to be right now, folks. That is not a place we want to be.
Actually, what you want to do is exit man's will. That's the whole problem, is man's will.
Man's will.
Satan deceives you into doing your own will.
And audience.
That's what he did with Eve. He deceived Eve into doing her own will.
Yeah, and you justify it.
Anyway, Bob had told me about this. We don't have to go into it, but in news, but this vaccination contest or something, that's just pure pride of man. What would you have to say about that, Bob, real quickly?
They had in North Carolina, they were having a vaccination contest for children that when they were vaccinated, they could participate in winning an iPod or a laptop. Oh. Again, Pharmakia, sound familiar?
Go get some poison, kill yourself, and then And then through the pride of man, you could win the contest too. I mean, it's insanity on steroids.
And audience, here we are, trying to tell the truth in terms of the scriptural, the proper renderings of our Lord Jesus Christ through his parables, the analogies, and the ensamples. And what we're told is to prepare for Revelation 6:17, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And that stand, audience, is to be in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ, to repent of your sins, to do the will of the Father. There's no more proper stand than that, because if you're going into the tribulation, as we'll be discussing through the scriptures tonight, you find yourself as really alone. You are very alone, audience, in terms of people knowing the scriptural or they know the physical. And in the physical, we are discussing that, you know, there's all deceivableness on the land in every form and manner. That current events, you know, but real tangible things that are happening in the world are the Mississippi River reversed its course. Okay, the Mississippi River reversed its course. Man can't change that. Now, if you have a significant understanding of the scriptures and you're talking about bodies of water, well, that's an act of God. So now we have to discern for you, audience, in terms of the scriptures, where are we at and how are we able to take a stand in our generation? Because we're recognizing that the mark of the beast and the merchandising of the multitude of people that are not only in the church, but now in the wilderness. You're in the wilderness, you could be snared. And we're finding it that there's the apostasy is far, far, far along. That we're coming to a conclusion that the season that we may be in our generation might be that little season, or coming up on the little season.
The short
Brother Chris?
Space. Yeah, that short space. The little while that we see. Yeah, it's just so huge. And I'm telling you, the big thing that's happened to us in the last month here is this understanding of a thousand-year kingdom. And it's like, I mean, this is how I look at it. It's almost like, you know, you see these, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark type movies or something like that, and I don't know, Harrison Ford or somebody goes and he's got the key that fits into place in the, you know, thing, and you know, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. You've seen it in these movies. And you put it into place, and it's just like everything clicks. You know, everything opens up, and it just seems like, you know, I've always looked at this thousand-year kingdom, you know, the false doctrine of the millennial reign of Christ, as like this appendix sticking off the kingdom or whatever, you know. And I realize, and it's like you push it into the kingdom, the understanding of the thousand-year reign, it fits right in with, you know, the church age, and it's been taking place since, you know, we really see that it's the time when, you know, Christ read from Isaiah in the temple, and he said, today these words are fulfilled, and, you know, we're just getting a hold of this stuff we all got excited tonight. I mean, I just was kind of kicking back a little bit before the show tonight, and just kind of started, I guess I dozed off actually, and you know how you get that clarity when you wake up, you know, and man, all of a sudden, I just had all these connections, and I got so excited, I couldn't stand it, I ran over here and started, you know, grabbing some scripture out of the e-sword, just connections, just making connections, and I was so excited to tell these guys, you know, and then at the same time, Bill said that, you know, our friend Pete Wilson had just made the exact same connection. And I hadn't talked to Pete or anything about it, know, it's the Lord doing this, you know, and it's just so exciting. And we're going to try to present a little bit of it tonight. We're not going to be able to go anywhere near, you know, it's a big study, and it's just huge, but it's just so awesome, you know, the way that the Lord you know, is bringing this together in this time for those who have ears. And, I just give him all the praise and glory for this, because it's all from him. It's just an absolute example of these words have been in my, I've read these words for 30 years, and now it's just the Spirit of God is bringing them together, making, giving an understanding. And I was so grateful, you know, for his Holy Spirit. And my, you know, brothers and sisters in the Lord that we can share it with. And, you know, we're grateful for you out there listening, you know, that this is not falling on deaf ears, and that there are some with ears to hear, and it's just a privilege.
And in the proper rendering of that audience, in a simplistic, taking down all the scriptures, 15, 14 pages of show notes, is that God now reigns in the hearts of all true believers, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Those in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ, those not following doctrines of demons, false prophets, money changers, those seeking to do the will of the Father, those being the temple of our Lord Jesus Christ.
And absolutely, Bob. That is full. The full weight of New Testament just tells you that. I mean, when Christ is abiding in you, you're ruling and reigning in him. It's all over the New Testament.
And audience, it's free. Okay, it's free. It's you and the Lord. And it's the only way to salvation. But it's you have to study yourself approved to understand this. And as this revealing comes through the scriptures, everybody else is teaching another gospel. So you can't, that is the helmet of salvation that you have on in the Ephesians armor of God, the armor of light, is against those principalities that are trying to propagate false doctrine and lead you into idol worship. Does anybody want to add to that?
Yeah, the first, you know, Simon the Sorcerer, Acts chapter 8, was the wanted to buy the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And
he was called a false prophet. Wasn't he called a false prophet?
Yeah, he was the first one. He was the first one.
Yeah.
Actually, I did a little 50-minute show last night on that, so when it'll probably be out when Chris gets it up sometime with this show next week. But yeah, he was the first false prophet. You know, the Catholic Church was actually created out of him.
Wow! And here we are today, the collective false prophet. You know, just who's made lies his refuge.
The collective false prophet, absolutely. That made lies their refuge.
An audience, you should be focused on our Lord Jesus Christ. You should be focused. I'm studying yourself approved. We, you know, as far as the past 2 years have found that Bill and I had done a pretty extensive search, and one of the parameters was recognizing physical Israel and spiritual Israel. And the proper rendering of Scripture is that the Israel of God is a spiritual construct. And that all the sites that we went to were following physical Israel, Jewish fables.
Yeah.
Now, as we recognize the beast as the beast that was not, and shall ascend, you can see that the physical Israel has ascended to world dominance, world preeminence. Does that mean that we are against any country or people? That is...
You know,
that's
the will
of
God.
The Lord
is way beyond countries and stuff.
You know, it's
asymmetrical. You know,
I think there's only two nations, and I think it's the nations in Rebecca's womb.
Yeah.
And now we have a spiritual Egypt to recognize, and a spiritual Sodom, and under this construct we have a spiritual Babylon, And you're told to come out of Babylon and come unto me. And it's recognition, it's the church's judgment will begin at the house of the Lord. And come out of those churches, come unto me, and you're in the wilderness. But now the construct in the wilderness is, hey, there's serpents and scorpions out here too. And the level of deception is in pre-show discussion, it's people are taking evil for good.
Yeah, he says, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. How hard is that for Christians to understand? My kingdom is not of this world.
And then we had this false doctrine.
Of this
we've got this false doctrine that we've been ingrained in our heads,
yeah,
that there's this future millennial reign, and all the the deception that comes with that.
That even negates that too, right there. My kingdom is not of this world.
It never fit with that. I could never get
it. Just won't fit, right.
Now it all fits.
And the three pertinent scriptures, audience, to recognize this can be found in Ephesians 5:6, 1 Timothy 2:14, and James 1:26. And each of them addresses the deceivableness on the land. Ephesians 5:6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. 1 Timothy 2:14, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. And we recognize the woman as the church. And the man could be, the first man. He was innocent. He was beguiled. The woman was beguiled. So it's a recognition, spiritually, that the churches are totally corrupted. And you have to understand that, audience, because every website you go to is corrupted. And it's only in the gospel.
They'd be killing you thinking they do the works of God. So they're killing your spirit thinking they're doing the works of God.
And in essence, they're money changers, they're idol shepherds, and they're leading their flock into the jaws of the wolves. James 1:26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Now, audience, all religion out there in the world now is vain. That's for the other side of the plumb line. You're either in our Lord Jesus Christ or you're not. And when you're not, you're being pushed to and fro with every form of ungodliness and snare and doctrine that seems like an angel of light, when actually it's from the pit of hell.
Comes in the prettiest packages.
The angel of light. And that's what goes on out there right now. This time that we're in, the deception is just so great. That it's all cloaked in this in flatteries, this pageantry of this royal wedding. It's just unbelievable. And I just had like a huge impact today when I walked into a store and there was a magazine rack and she's announcing she's pregnant. So she was pregnant. Isn't that special? It's like it's just nothing is sacred anymore. There's just nothing left. It's all bad. It's just all gone bad. And everybody's out there, worshiping them. And, here's the epitome of the modern, godless society. No consideration for morals and integrity. Even in the, citadel of whatever, the royal, the thing is just completely corrupt. The royal family, but what that's presented to the people, the whole thing, it's just all deception, all pure deception.
Audience, we have that on a global scale, but that's happening to your neighbor. You have to recognize this is fluent throughout the scriptures that this corruption would happen. And the definitive time frame that we have is we're pegging a date in the 1800s for the strong delusion. But 1947-1948 is a significant date for a generation when you're studying scriptures to say what, you know, on one hand, it's what is it mine to do the will of the Lord? On another hand, it's looking at the scriptures and saying, in my generation, where are we? And Brother Bill, we're definitive time frames if we're in the thousand-year reign with our Lord Jesus Christ. The great falling away has happened. The famine on the land, audience, you need to witness this. You need to go into Target and see if you could find a King James Version Bible. You'll find 60 others. You may not find the King James Version Bible. So there's a famine on the land. Scriptures has revealed the definitive players, Bill, the multitude, the 144,000, the serpents and the scorpions, and the dragon himself.
Yep.
And, you know, it says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 2, you know, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And then, you know, that's tied right into 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And now you know that what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he is taken out of the way. You know, the Satan being bound, right? For 1,000 years, and then in 2 Thessalonians, the restrainer is lifted. It's the same thing. I mean, this is the thing we're seeing.
Right. The restrainer, really... Satan was cast out of heaven 2,000 years ago. He was bound. He got blindsided at the cross. He was cast out by Michael the archangel. And he's been operating within the bounds of his prison for the last 1,900 years or whatever, 1,980 years.
Yeah, so that's really something, Bill.
And that's why Jesus came to set the captives free. They're in the prison with him. See, ruling and reigning are those that are not in his prison.
And you'll find from the apostles. The apostles were released from these prisons. The gates were opened for them. These were miracles.
That's the gates, yeah.
Now, audience, you need to recognize what we're discussing here. Is that on the inhabitants of the earth, at this time, 99.9% of the Christian church, they're in jail with Satan. They're in the prison.
Right,
and it's like
the pride
a
of man that's the restrainer. When man no longer has fear of God, everything is pride of man, and Satan is loosened for a little season.
And it's recognized that, you know, as we study the scriptures and get the proper renderings of scripture, we have carried from our past year of doing shows the main focus of our first shows were to get the people out of the churches. Because it was a revelation to us that the churches were all apostate. But then the revelation kept coming that not only is the church construct apostate, but everything you see
right, everything.
Is
yeah,
evil
is
for good. So fleshly recognition of Babylon is you're sitting in Babylon right now. Okay? If you're on the other side of the plumb line. Or you're sitting with our Lord Jesus Christ in covenant, under the spiritual construct, the Israel of God.
That's the inner court. The outer court's Babylon. The inner court's the kingdom of heaven.
And you find this to be true, you're in shock. Because nobody recognizes this at all. They have no clue. And that's an indication that judgment is upon the land. Because the Lord judges your heart. You can't see your neighbor's heart. You just know they're in apostate teaching. You know the Pope's an apostate. You know the corner church is an apostate.
Yep.
This is a dire situation for...
Perilous times, it says in 2 Timothy.
Perilous, dire. All recollections of Scripture saying, it is now time to prepare yourself to do the will of the Father. And to do that, you need to know scripturally how to enter covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ, how to petition the Lord to do His will. Because the battle that is upon the land now, spiritually, is if the recognition of the restrainer, gentlemen, do we concur that the restrainer, at least in our generation, we are seeing greater and greater evils by the, I think, month? Lest I say week?
Yeah. Boy, it's hard to argue with that, Bob. You walk down the shopping mall, and if you don't see it, but I mean, this is all addressed in Scripture, and I was going to read Revelation chapter 20, if that's all right, Bob. Is that okay if I go on with that?
Absolutely, Chris.
Okay, and Revelation 20 verse 3. And cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Okay, I mean, this is huge. It's huge. I mean,
very big.
He was, this has been so misconstrued by Satan, you know, with this false doctrine, all tied to the dispensational Jewish dispensational doctrine. Really, it's all part of this, you know, the earthly reign. And honestly, what the earthly reign is preparing people for the New World Order, basically.
Right, and the word earth is not anywhere in that scripture. They've added that as well as millennium.
Oh yeah, and that's what we've realized. The 1,000 years is a symbolic period of time, and when the 1,000 years be fulfilled. So when is that? That's when the restrainer is lifted. That's I went a little too fast because, the Lord cast Satan into the bottomless pit, shut him up, and set a seal upon him. See, he was bound. He was bound at the cross. And
because I have on part four, you just put out 2 hours where I covered that, Chris, and I have the notes and. There's a lot in there that people can go in and look at in those notes. He was definitely bound. See, the word of God went to all the nations after that. It was no longer could he stop the word of God. He could stop the gospel.
And then the demonic activity that went on at the time of Christ, when we hear the apostles casting out demons and stuff. Exactly. You know, I've never been able to get a hold of that, but now I do, because they were just everywhere. It must have just been insane.
Yeah, you know, he had totally deceived all the other nations.
I mean, Jesus conquered sin on the cross and bound Satan.
Absolutely.
But, it says that the bottomless pit is opened, you know, and it's a fifth trumpet. You know, we've speculated about that with this Gulf oil spill, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of evidence pointing towards the fact it could have been a manifestation of the fifth trumpet. The scorpions unleashed from the bottomless pit. You know, and when this 1,000 years is fulfilled, that's the big thing. And was it fulfilled when Schofield corrupted the footnotes of the King James Bible? Good question, right? I mean, you know, could it be when the pale horse arrived on the scene? Because, you know, we do see this beast kingdom.
I think it's more the pale horse.
Probably right.
But I think the precursor to that, Chris, was the falling away. And I thoroughly believe that I look at the time frame, Krakatoa was the signal of the falling away.
Yeah,
as insane as that might sound to people. And I don't like to get into the flesh much. I really don't. But that time frame, that's it, man.
Yeah, I don't think Krakatoa was done with harp technology.
That was the time frame of the falling away, right there.
It's nothing we can prove with scripture.
Nothing we can prove.
And we know the Lord, and we know His plan. He's shared His secret with us, and we know that He would, you know, most certainly announce. Hey, you know, there's plenty of references to, the announcement. You know, who knows? It could have been the first trumpet. Who knows? Maybe Krakatoa was a trumpet. I mean, we don't know. We just don't know. You know, but we do. I know one thing. I know the condition of the church, and I know in the last 20 years what's happened. I remember when remarriage after divorce was forbidden. That tells you how long I've been in the church. And I say, when did God send out the memo for that? So, whatever. You know, I mean, this is just, you know.
Audience, we're told, Matthew 5:19, whosoever, therefore, shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, we're told through the New Testament covenant of our Lord Jesus Christ that the commandments were true. And if you look at Scripture, there was the Word, and the Word was truth. So the commandments abide, audience. But we'll never make them. No flesh is good. You can't. It was given to men as a plumb line to understand that, you know, it is the Lord's will. The Lord is truth. The Lord set the commandments as an example for us. Now, if you take the proper rendering of the scripture, you will find that, you know, they, by every deceivable, manipulative, satanic dragon speak way have distorted the truth of our Lord God, and through His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, we are to stand in the holy place in the recognition of this and prepare to do His will. Because if we're entering a little season and you're not prepared for this, you're not doing the will of the Lord, you're not in covenant, you're not seeking to do His will, you're not being a lively stone in the most basic metaphorical way, you're looking at judgment, and you're looking at judgment in our generation. Brother Bill?
Yeah, I've seen it in the last 60 years. Yeah, I mean, I don't even believe the changes that I've seen in the world. Never in the history of the world has changed this fast. And I think it's just moving faster.
It is.
Time will be no more.
And we have a generation now that's just glued to the flesh. That's what builds pride of man, is going back to the flesh. I was just thinking today, I was telling my wife that all these Parker toys, that the little children, a year old, and they push little buttons and it lights up and bells go off. And they, you know, it's just all push. See, everything attaches you to the flesh. You know, 100 years ago, a little child just had had a Raggedy Ann doll. That's all they had.
Yeah.
Now they're just, as soon as they're born, little child, they're already going to be trained for computer war games 20 years later, because they're just pushing a button and a light goes off and it flashes in their face and a bell sounds and it rings, and, you know, all these Parker toys for little babies.
Yeah.
And it's conditioning to take, you know, it's very strong mind conditioning.
Yeah, and it's really disturbing. Something else too, an observation I made this weekend. I live in a middle class, whatever that was or is, you know, community. There's definitely some struggling people out here, but they're putting all new schools up here, and I'm going to myself, where is this money coming from? But I see what it is. You know, it's the New World Order system. I mean, I see the money's there for the education, because these are going to be just more mind control centers, you know, to the next level. You know, because you know,
education's totally failed. I don't see how people cannot see that. Education has totally failed, and yet they're well, you know, we're going to make it better. It's just going and betting on number six again.
Yeah.
But, and you know, it's all deception. The history has been rewritten. If we, boy, you talk to Gordon Comstock, and you're just fascinating topics.
Yeah.
But history has been changed. Now, we're recognizing that, Chris, one of your early studies was on Cromwell, wasn't, if I recall correctly, that you posted on your site. Was that Cromwell?
Or Cornwallis.
Cornwallis. I apologize.
Yeah, or Washington's surrender.
Yes, and Cornwallis recognized that this was going to happen to the United States.
Yeah.
And he predicted it, and here we are.
And here we are. And then, you know, I picked up, I got to, you know, give credit to Webster Tarpley last week. He made his observation of this royal wedding. And he brought out the fact that Prince, or that King Andrew the Seventh, or King Edward the Seventh, I think it was Edward the Seventh. It was the king that was on the throne in the late 1800s, early 1900s. This was it was a big missing piece of the puzzle for me. Because I've seen the clear, you know, outworkings of the red horse, the black horse, and we know the white horse, British Empire, but I don't know, you know, the death and, you know, the death and hell that came out of the white horse. You know, we know that it's clearly the mercantile system, capitalism, if you will, but you know, the Holocaust that we certainly saw with the red horse and the black horse. Well, it sure took place with the white horse too, and it was under this guy's reign. And this was the guy. You know, this was the counterpart to, you know, really, you know, I'd say this was the counter, the British figurehead that would be Stalin and Hitler. You know, he was first. You know, the white horse whose wings were plucked, or you know, the lion whose wings were plucked. You know, the white horse. And, you know, all the devastation that took place ultimately leading up to World War One. And, you know, it was so fascinating because, you know, we know the devastation that took place out of World War One, but so significant right now was the pattern then of what was taking place right before us. It's Osama bin Laden and the false sense of peace that these people felt after the Austrian whoever he was, the Austrian prime minister or something, I forget,
Archferdinand II,
who was assassinated, and it really kicked off World War One. And but there was a period of time after his assassination where people thought that, you know, we got it made now, we got it made in the shade, and there's a sense of that out there right now with this yo-yo, you know. This crazy script that they just, you know, worked with Osama bin Laden, you know, because we know that they need to control the hearts of the multitude. To, you know, they got to get the support of the people to do what they do. And, you know, it's very, very ominous right now, this time that we're in, because all the signs are pointing towards there's going to be a false flag. It's probably going to be nuking cities. I tell you what, I can't imagine it not being that. And they're going to blame it on Pakistan, and, you know, the ISI is the intelligence, you know, Pakistani intelligence, and it's all corrupted and twisted. It's all lies. It's just all lies, and this is what they're doing right now. But anyway, I just had to throw that in.
Chris, I'd like to mention, I think, and I could see this in other generations, that these events that we're seeing that are, you know, let's call them public events on a global basis.
Yeah, it's hard to know what to call them. Yeah.
But the other analogy is to turn around and say, well, you know, I come as a thief in the night.
Right.
You will be marrying, given in marriage. Things will be fine. And we find a let's call it a starting point for a discussion that, yes, the little season may be upon the inhabitants of the earth, and we're finding the wilderness is getting pretty hazardous out here, and that it is time to stand in the holy place and recognize this scripturally, that this is the will of the Lord, that all this is happening. And you're to prepare your house, audience. Your house is to be in order. And you are to stand as the temple of our Lord God, Jesus Christ, to do His will. And the gates of hell will not prevail against you.
Amen.
Because you have to understand this is the winning team. Okay, this is the kingdom that's reigning, and the scriptures are revealing what's happening in your generation. And you have to, do we have compassion for everybody that doesn't recognize this, gentlemen?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Absolutely. My heart bleeds for the people that are deceived, caught in a snare.
And this is because we know that the Lord's judgment is coming. And this judgment is the true judgment, the great throne judgment. And we're told to be prepared for this.
And for God's remnant elect, judgment is good news. I hear judgment, I get excited. It's the judgment. God is making His decision. God's making His decision, the white throne judgment. And it's going to be, if you're either in the books or the book. The books are the books of our deeds of the flesh, and the book is the Lamb's Book of Life. And, we want to be in the Lamb's Book of Life.
And don't be deceived by these false doctrine bull poopy. Okay. And
you
I do
have... You have a little girl, don't you, Bill? Or Bob?
Yes. Because I can tell you, audience, what the people outside spiritual Israel don't understand is that the Gentiles are trampling on the outer court.
Yeah.
And that you can pull these scriptures together through Revelation, 2 Thessalonians, through Brother Bill's 1,000-year reign study, through the breakout studies that just can scripturally break down what you are to do in this generation. And it's
as far as what to do here, we made all these connections about this little season, and it said, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Satan must be loosed because, this is the third day, the tribulation, the Lord's strange act, the consummation, the finishing up of things. And literally, that's the big thing, too, with this understanding of the kingdom, the finishing up of things. That's the definition for, the consummation of the Lord's strange act. This is the tribulation. And this is a couple more references that we made these connections to. Isaiah says, come, my people, enter into thy chambers and shut thy door about thee. This is where we want to be. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment. See, there it is again. Little season, a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. And, this is it. This is what we're talking about. And this is where we want to be. We want to be in thy chambers. And, in Revelation 17:10, it goes into the same thing. And there was seven kings, five are fallen, one is, the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. There it is again. The little season, the little moment, the short space. This is the tribulation, folks. And this is upon us. This is upon us. Just as in the days of Noah, so shall be the little season, the little moment, the short space, the coming of the Son of Man. And this is it. We're calling you to get prepared for this because it's on us.
So we've got the weight of Scripture all in this audience. And I'll give you two testimonials. Brother Bill, when you were growing up, was the worst offense in school putting gum under the seats and running in the hall?
Pretty much so, yeah. Spit wads, I guess, a little bit. But
Running with scissors was pretty bad.
Running with scissors, right, yes.
Okay, Brother Chris, another generation. Brother Chris, what was the worst events happening in your school?
Well, it was interesting, but, you know, doing burnouts in the parking lot with the cars and drinking beer and, you know, smoking pot. So it was progressing. Yeah, I'm, you know, probably like a couple of years behind you there, huh, Bill, and, you know, things were definitely progressing in my generation. I graduated from high school in 1975. You know, Mick Jagger and John Lennon had already had a pretty good hold on things by then.
And then, audience, we have this generation. And the signatures are Columbine, methamphetamines, drugs, cultural wars. And it's complete mess. Okay, so now you're looking at in 30, 40, 50, well, let's call it 50, 60 years, from that time to now, everything has been overturned what it was.
And, you know, so, the deception is that there's some good kids. My kids are good kids, you know. They're wonderful. But they have no concept of pride. I mean, they hear it from me in the love of the truth. But, you know, they're still part of the harlot church system. And, you know, there's no clear distinction about being taught how to survive in this wicked world, because it's presented as a wonderful place. The world, you know, I got kicked out of church. The last church service I was at, they closed the service with Louis Armstrong, "It's a Wonderful World." That was the most offensive thing to me. When I spend my life studying Scripture, and the Lord's teaching us how to hate to hate the world, and you know, here's this church teaching us to love the world. And I don't know what it was about that, but you know, I know the depths of it, because this is the flatteries that's coming from the pulpits to love this world, when you know, we're clearly taught to hate the world, and I hate the world. I, you know, that's why this 1,000-year understanding is sitting so well with me, because I didn't want to see this thing drag on another stinking 1,000 years. You know, I'm ready for this thing to get wrapped up, because you know, I'm looking for a new heaven and a new earth. I'm absolutely okay with that.
Brother Bill.
Well, that's what Scripture declares, a new heavens and a new earth. You know, praise the Lord, He's long-suffering, and we can still be gathering, you know, and working in the field in this great wheat harvest before
yeah.
that time comes.
Because there's going to be a day when no man can work.
Yeah.
What does that mean? It's going to mean that there's probably not going to be a chance to respond to the truth. There's a time coming when, you know, the plumb line, when, you know, the Lord will pass by. He'll set the plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. Is that, I've got that screwed up. What does it say?
In Amos?
In Amos, I mean, is that what, I just got a mental blank there.
Amos 7.
I'll come back to it.
When he rode into Jerusalem, was that was the time, in that time era, that time frame, when Jesus wept before he rode into Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. And, you know, that was their hour of visitation. And the truth passed by them no more.
Right.
And that's coming again for this Israel.
It's coming again. It's repeating. Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when is that? And it's this, you know, it's all in here.
It's all mixed, right. Yeah, I can't put times on all this stuff, but it's, you know, we're right in the middle of it. I know that. It's all around us.
In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders." You know, and this is what we were talking about last week in Revelation. You know, the signs and lying wonders. "And with the deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." I mean, this is it. This is salvation. Salvation is the love of the truth. And if you love not the truth, you perish. You know, you're damned. And, you know, it's just so clear. And, you know, that's Thessalonians.
On a metaphorical application of Scripture, Isaiah 28:16, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." Well, that stone audience is our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we go back to Daniel...
Was that Isaiah 28 you just read?
Yes, 28:16.
Yeah. Right, so, right after the they make lies their refuge.
Right. Yes.
The whole thing at the end is because iniquity abounds. You know, abound has to do with even multitude. If you search the word in Strong's Accordance, it talks about it's the multitude. Iniquity abounds. And their hearts wax cold. The love of... They have no more... They're full of pride. I mean, that's just it. That's what all this is about. When it finally gets totally full of pride, that's what does it. You know, I think back to 1847 once again. I could just see Satan saying, oh, yeah, let these people get their hands on steel and see how prideful they can be. And we've had our hands on steel for 160 years. And... just look at the pride that's come out of it. I mean, everything, you know, they got their new car they're proud of. They got, it's endless.
And yeah, I you were right. I mean, I don't know if you bailed me out of that one with the plumb line. It was the plumb line. I don't know, for some reason my brain is shut down there. But, you know, and the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. And the Lord said, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not pass by them anymore. You know, so, you know, this plumb line that we talk about all the time, you know, it's definitely the time when...
And I could tell you that was when Jesus spoke in Matthew 23. That was it. He rode into town, rode into Jerusalem, and with the multitude, they were hailing him as kings. He turned the money tables over. He woed them 8 times in Matthew 23. And he left, went back to the Mount of Olives. They saw that the fig tree had withered on the way back. He said, Master, Master, that fig tree that you cursed is already withered.
Oh, that was it.
That was when the plumb...
That was it.
That was it.
That's when God sent the plumb line in the midst of his people Israel.
Right.
And the plumb line was Jesus Christ.
Yep.
What do you see taking place there, Bill, as far as the people being able to respond to Jesus' message?
You mean how it relates to today?
Or then. Yeah, maybe then, and that would help it relate to today.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as maybe the blindness in part that has come upon Israel, you know, there's definitely a dual fulfillment of that prophecy.
Oh, and there's dual fulfillments of all of
it. Right. The church that we're seeing today in apostasy.
But what the, you know, in Matthew 23 was the last time when he woed them 8 times. The multitude was present. He did all that. He openly, He openly exposed everything right in front of the multitudes.
Yeah.
That was the first time ever that he didn't. He always sends the multitudes away. This time he didn't. And the disciples stayed there too.
Oh.
And he made a public display of those people. And when he left town, when he left Jerusalem, they went back to the Mount of Olives to give the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24.
Okay.
That tree had already been withered and dying, just as, you know, the disciples had noticed that. So, you know, he did this in front of the multitude. So somehow the multitude is going to have to witness this. Is it the witnessing when the multitude witnesses the 144,000? I don't know.
Huh.
But it's going to happen again. If you know, I'm just not sure where we are in that time frame.
Yeah.
But that was what happened in Amos when he says, "I'll pass by them no more." That was it.
Yep.
It's Matthew 23.
I've stopped trying to. Yeah. And I've really stopped trying to put exact. I just kind of you got to take a sweeping brushstroke with this, because otherwise you go crazy.
Right, but, and you do have to always keep in mind that we're in a 2,000-year recapitulation of this thing, too. and I know that you understand this, and it's important for the audience to understand this, that these things run over and over and over, and they overlap each other till we finally get to the last and most dynamic one, which is, you know, the final birth pain.
And to recapitulate, you would need to have a period of time, audience, where all of these things transpire for the past 2,000 years. Now, there's always been truth. There's always been a remnant that could convey the proper renderings of scriptures. But there's also an understanding that when people take evil for good, okay, and you're going into another recapitulation of this cycle, you have to say, where does the conclusion of scripture end? And no time will be given to evil and adulterous generation. And that is the same when our Lord Jesus Christ came. And that is the same in our generation.
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of people just think that this thing is going to go on. I can't put time frames on it, but I can tell you the very first verse of the Bible is Bible prophecy. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. So you know that there's going to be an end. You can't have it has to end somewhere. You know, mankind kind of thinks today with the human mindset, oh, that, well, what is man going to be like in 10,000 years from now? You can forget all that stuff. Now, this is what they're teaching them in the schools and stuff, that how far man's going to be progressed. You'll be lucky to make it another 20 years. They're talking about 2,000 years from now, 4,000 years. No, this thing is coming to an end.
And we're told, audience, in Psalms 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Well, metaphorically, when you know the proper rendering of scriptures, thy rod is the deliverer that you have delight in. And thy staff, audience, that is the support of our Lord Jesus Christ for you to endure in this generation. And without that, I could pretty much say you're toast.
Yes. Yeah.
That's even pride of man, too, just thinking they're going to be, oh, we can see how well man's going to be advanced in 2,000 years and in 4,000 years. That's just more pride of man. They actually believe they're going to last that long, and they're going to evolve.
Now we turn
the biggest lie: evolution, evolve. Yeah, I don't see mankind evolving.
Synagogue of Satan sit there with Darwin. You know how he wanted to deceive the masses? Throw them a wrench like that. Let them think. Let them not take the word of the Lord, and that's what happened. Now, man's pride is all over this world. And what comes to it? Well, the greatest nuclear power plant that was ever built, all six of them on the same spot, well, they built it on a fault line. And it's probably going to be the worst man-made disaster ever. And it's polluting the entire ocean. Well, that's the second ocean, because we had less than a year ago the pit of hell being released.
In fact, just a year ago, exactly.
Right, just a year ago.
Give man a little steel and see what he can do.
And Brother Bill, if we go back, and this may jog your memory, the Tower of Babel and the mortar.
Yeah.
And the slime.
Yep. Slime, the lies. The slime. The lies tie this whole thing together.
Yep. They hold the bricks together, the artificial, you know, that's the corpses, the dead corpses. See, Satan can't make stones. So they use brick for stones. There's your artificial, you know, corpses that Satan creates.
These ensamples, audience, just keep popping up, but now they're popping up everywhere and being tied scripturally to this generation. And as we go into Revelation 13, we are getting the proper renderings of scripture by studying the scriptures. Studying yourself approved and coming to the conclusion that, you know, if you're preaching another gospel, you're condemned to hell. Woe to us if we're deceived. Brother Chris.
Yeah, you know, it's just so neat the way this all ties together with, I think we covered Revelation 13:13 last week, where he does great wonders. So he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. You know, and this is Satan being unleashed. Right, Bill?
Yep.
See that? I mean, serpent being,
that's that little season.
That's it right there. I mean, we made that reference last week with the fire coming down from heaven. You know, signs and wonder ministries are all about bringing fire down, man. And they don't know what they're playing with. They are playing literally with fire.
And during this is the same time period where the woman is being nourished in the wilderness.
Ah, amen. In the
Revelation 12.
In the wilderness, in thy chamber, yep. In the inner court, all these metaphoric, standing in the holy place, standing in the
truth.
That's
right, standing in the holy place.
It's
who
the truth.
Who can let him understand?
And, you know, I was looking for that the other day, Bill. You had done a study making a complete, absolute connection between the wilderness as a metaphor for the truth. And I couldn't find it.
I do remember doing that. I'll see if I can find it.
Yeah, I couldn't remember how long ago it was. But the wilderness is a metaphor for the truth. We stand in the truth. We saw that in 2 Thessalonians. It's the love of the truth is what salvation is. That's what salvation is. And we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath, from the beginning, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. That is the gospel message. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13.
Right, 13, 14, and 15. It's called chosen and faithful. It's not in that order. But 13, I think, is chosen. 14 is called, and 15 is faithful. That's the triune matrix to salvation.
Yeah.
Called, chosen, and faithful.
Many
you
are called.
You better run the race to endureth to the end.
Many are called, few are chosen.
Yeah. You're called to come into number 7. Or you're called as number 6, actually. You're in number 6, you're called. You're chosen to come into number 7 because you received the love of the truth. That's why he chooses you. Everyone gets called.
Yeah.
It's when you respond to the love of the truth, he chooses you. You're in number 7. And when you stay in number 7,
you stay in number 7.
That are faithful and then endure to the end.
And that's the seed that fell on good soil, you know. And
that's
it's not
the seed that fell
seed
on good soil, right?
That didn't fall on that flourished for a little while, got all emotional at a Billy Graham concert, and then fell away. You know, that's been the pattern. But go ahead.
Audience, we're talking about something that is basic scriptural doctrine. Galatians 6:8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now the proper rendering is that if you're recognizing that the whole world lies in wickedness, and that the manifestations of the flesh that are happening to the inhabitants of the earth are scriptural, and you understand that our Lord Jesus Christ is reigning as King, and he foretold all of this, you will recognize that this is all spiritual for you. You stand in the holy place and witness all of these events. You can go into a corner church and sit down for a sermon and tell that this guy's lying. Leaven's not a good thing. The fowls of the air are not a good thing. You know, you need to protect your mind scripturally to do the will of the Father. And they hate you for this.
They hate
you. They sow discontent.
They hate you.
Chris, they hate you. And this is also Proverbs
6:14. They hate the truth is what it is. They hate Jesus. Right. It's really not even you that they hate. They hate Jesus that's in you. They hate the truth that's in you. And Jesus said this. He says, they hated the Father before me.
Yeah.
And these preachers in the churches are recognized in Proverbs 6:14. Browedness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. And this discord is recognized when you tell the truth in Scripture with proper renderings, they hate you.
It causes their men's hearts to fail.
Yeah.
They can't get over it.
It's the fear. Yeah, the fear. This is what I always heard when I was waking people up in my church or trying to, you know, that's what I always kept hearing. Oh, you have so much fear in your message. And it's, you know, it wasn't me, it was you. You know, if this brings you fear, you're not ready to stand before the Lord. And that's the plain cold truth about all this. You know, and it's not good. It is not good. Because you know, the whole world lies in wickedness, and this the church is completely missing it right now. The church construct is completely caught up with flatteries and pride, leavened. The whole loaf
is like
leavened.
Right. This leaven, the beast is pride. That's what the beast is. It's Leviathan. Leviathan is pride. They just turn into a prideful beast, an image of the beast. You want to read 14 and tell me what you see out of that one, Chris?
Yeah, he deceived them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live.
And he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Well, we know he gets his power from the dragon. The first
right.
and the second beast, they both get their power from the dragon.
And you speak like a dragon. And, you know, that's
in Genesis 11. The whole world was of one language and one speech. The world is the beast. One language is the hyphen in the middle, that's the dragon. And the speech is the false prophet, the dialectic. It's right there. It's the same. The whole world was one language and one speech.
Wow. And it is. The false prophet is definitely tied to the speech.
Yep.
Yeah.
In audience, if we haven't gone through this, the false prophet is the church.
Right. That's right.
So this false prophet is propagating lies. And leading anyone in the church into idol worship, which at a throne judgment, you're guilty. You didn't study yourself approved. You let the corporate lawyers put down some Bible study that they devised to sell. They merchandised you.
That's right. The beast is King Herod. The false prophet was the Pharisees. The power of the dragon was the money tables, right in the middle.
All in samples. These in samples are for you to understand scriptures. So if you can't take the very basics of a fowl of the air is very, very bad. A serpent is very, very bad. A scorpion is very, very bad. The body of Christ is made up of the 144,000 and the multitude. They are the kingdom of God. Outside of that construct is the outer court, and in our generation it's being trampled on by the Gentiles. And that trampling is the truth of our Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what he's telling his body, that I am reigning, and prepare yourself for the coming of the Lord. And despite what all of these false prophets are preaching, our Lord Jesus Christ comes in a like manner. He's coming back. And there is no millennium kingdom to be redeemed. He's coming back and you're going to be sitting in a throne judgment. Now that should strike the living fear, because next is hell. So prepare yourself for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and stand in the holy place and study this and understand it. Let no man deceive you. Put no man on a pedestal.
No man.
Which is what they're doing here. They're, you know, that they should make an image of the beast.
Saying, he says, saying to them that dwell on the earth. So saying, who is doing the saying? It's the false prophet. He's the one in Genesis 11. The whole world was of one language and one speech. There's your speech right there. Saying to them that dwell on the earth. That's the false prophet. They should make an image of the beast. Well, it's right in the Genesis 11. They said, let us make us a tower that reach unto heaven.
Right.
Same thing. That's a false prophet. They're listening to the false prophet to make an image of the beast, which had the wound by the sword and did live. And, you know, obviously we see that on a religious layer. We all see that in this group. Israel rising back?
Right.
And how hard is that, audience? It was. It was not. And it shall ascend. Now it's ascended.
Yeah.
And the proper rendering of what's going on now in our time, audience, is some... Let's think a common sense analogy is that some... let's say he's a Pakistani or Egyptian or a Iranian in the Middle East. He's high on some dope. He's in the army. He's a private. He's hating life. And, you know, there's a false radar blip. And he can't understand what's happening. So he hits a button. Well, in a chain of events, within 10 minutes, there's nuclear exchanges.
That's right.
Now, there's more nuclear weapons to blow up the planet than there's ever been. Now, the times are perilous for that reason that we say, get your house in order. Get your house in order tonight. Sit down and, you know, pray to our Lord Jesus Christ. And let no man deceive you. Brother Chris.
Yeah, and then, boy, as we wrap up Revelation 13 here, when we see that, you know, ultimately, which had the wound by a sword and did live, and this live, this beast that was not and shall ascend. Well, this is the religious system. This is the religious system that was at work at the time of Christ, that knew not the time of their visitation, knew not the hour of their visitation. This is the religious system that has risen back to power, and this is what we have today. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. The image of the beast is the corporate church. The church, capital C, that image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Well, here we are. This is the church is the thing. This is what's going on today in the corporate church. The church is the object of worship. And this is why this is the abomination of desolation. Because the abomination spoken of in Daniel is taking place. It's the idolatry that's taking place in the church. And instead of Jesus Christ, they're worshiping another Jesus. And ultimately, what they're worshiping is the church itself. And that's the image of the beast. The image of the beast is the corporate church. And it's the false prophet that speaks and causes. I wonder what do you think about the causes? Well, the speaking...
It's the natural order of events.
It's the
natural order. They, you know, these, and I think James Lloyd's expounded on this as well, these two beasts don't necessarily get along. They both get their power from the dragon. But it's their actions that cause the results to come about. You'll cause an effect.
Yeah, the beast and the false prophet are two men in a burning building fighting.
Yeah, they're two men in a burning building fighting, right? But they cause... that as many that would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And
that killed is that those that you will be put out of the synagogue by those thinking they are doing God's service, and you'll be killed. And the killed is cut off. You know, it's being cut off from the flesh. I mean, it's actually, help me out here, Bill, on this.
Reborn in the spirit.
I mean, that's what the killed is. And it's tied into the thousand. Because the thousand year reign is the reign of the perfected saints that are killed. Essentially, you know, metaphorically here, and then, well, you know, will it be physical? Probably. Yes, it will be. I mean, there's going to be physical manifestations.
Right, there's always physical outcroppings.
But this killed is being, and basically being put out of the harlot system, either willingly or I was kicked out of the church. You know, I before I knew what hit me, I was out, and I just thought it was God taking care of me because I love this place. You know, all my friends were there. I wasn't about to leave, but it was only months later that I realized what took place because I was you know, put out of the synagogue by those thinking they were doing God's service. Literally, this happened to me, and you know, I see now is God making sure that I wasn't going to be worshiping the beast, that I wasn't going to be taking the mark of the beast. Because, folks, this is where we are. These verses are leading up to 16, 17, and 18, which is the mark of the beast. And I'll tell you what, guys, there's going to be too much here. We can't do it tonight. We've set the stage for this. But next week we're going to have to wrap this up with the mark of the beast. And I'll tell you right now, the mark of the beast is participating in the harlot church system. That's what the mark of the beast is. It has It has nothing to do with barcodes or RFID chips. It's the decision, the multitudes in the valley decision to either go along with the harlot church system or come out. That's the mark of the beast. And
staying in the flesh.
It's staying in the flesh, and that's what it is.
That's why it's in verse 16, there's six things listed there. Small, great, rich, poor, free, bond. There's six. You're going to stay in number six, you get the mark of the beast. Then it's divided in components. Two factions of evil, small and great. Two factions of evil, rich and poor. Two factions of evil, free and bond. You know, it's all finite and going in the trash.
Oh, that's just fantastic. And then, you know, with the buying and the selling, it's not what the rapture cult has taught us. It's not what the world is looking for. I go on these forums and I just can't believe it. You know, the people that are, you know, still hanging on to that idea that, you know, it's going to be the RFID implant and all that, all those fables. You know, it's just
right,
crazy.
Yeah, they're always waiting for this, and they're waiting for this. And I guess if they don't get the computer mark of the chip, they must be saved then.
No, but this, I'm telling you what, this is why this study was so heavy on my heart, and because the fact that this is here right now, folks, and this is life or death. This is eternity in hell or eternity in heaven material right here, because this is decision time. It's decision to continue on worshiping the beast, worshiping the image of the beast, or to come out and not be a partaker of her iniquities and plague. So, yeah, we would definitely encourage you to, you know, join us next week with as we pick this up. We'll definitely, you know, tie Revelation 16, 13, 16, 17, and 18 together for you. And you'll probably see some things you've never seen before because it's very amazing. You know, metaphoric understanding of the mark of the beast and, you know, the significance of the mark on the forehead. You know, and this is something that always amazed me too. You know, with all the emphasis that the apostate church puts on the mark of the beast and all the spooky, you know, connotations of that. Why don't they just go a couple more verses and get into Revelation chapter 14 and, you know, talk about the mark of God? Because, man,
yeah,
I'm thinking
no focus on there.
I'd really rather have the mark of God, you know, and it's the mark of God on your forehead. It's your mind, you know, and the mark of the beast on your forehead, you know, is significant of your mind. And we see, you know, just to give you a hint of what's coming. But, you know, the mark of the beast on the forehead is tied to the serpents are the false teachers. And then we see the mark of the beast on the right arm the right hand is tied to the scorpions. The scorpions are tied to the force, Steve Knox says, the ones that do the heavy lifting for the serpents. You know, the serpent locust spirit is tied to the release of the scorpions out of the bottom, or the locusts out of the bottomless pit. We see this at work today dramatically. It's hard to explain when you don't have the eyes for the metaphoric language, but we see this apostate signs and wonder movements, you know, tying themselves to Joel's army. And, you know, Joel's army is the locust army. And these Bethel movements, all the signs of wonder crowd, I call them, are all flaunting the fact that they're Joel's army. And Joel's army is actually the army that is the vessels of wrath that God uses in the end times as far as the judgment that he brings upon the church. Ironically, again, you know, God is just a God of irony. Amazing. Amazing, the way the Lord, has set this thing up, the way that, and it all gets down to what we saw in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, love not the truth, perish. Love the truth, and you're saved. And that's all, that's what it gets down to. And, it just goes over and over and over again. The Lord just brings clarity to this. And, look forward to seeing you next week again. And with that, I'm going to say good night and thank everybody. And just stay as tight as you can into Jesus' yoke. Don't squirm. It only hurts when you squirm. And when you're walking alongside Jesus at his pace, life is good.
Brother Bill.
Yes, I would like to close in saying here that seek the Lord Jesus Christ in all things. He will send his Comforter, the Holy Ghost, to be with you forever. He will guide you to all truth and bring remembrance of all things to you. And take captive every thought. That's where the battleground is. That's where the real battleground is, in your mind and your heart. You know, take captive of every thought that comes into your mind, whether it be an evil thought, or it be a good thought of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit will give you the discernment. And we are to cast out the evil thoughts in our mind. He told the Pharisees that when they were eating with unclean hands, he says it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, it's what comes out of him. So if we take captive every thought and allow it to not come out of us, that's where the battle is. It's truly a spiritual battle, and that's where it is.
Yeah,
and I'd like to thank everyone for listening.
Can I add one thing, too?
Sure, absolutely.
Revelation 13:15, it's just so huge. I mean, and I'm just sitting here now, reading it again, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. This is absolutely taking place right now, because right now, this is what's happening. Is heaven forbid you're not part of a church. You're not part of an organized church. And this is the move out there. All the religious, all the different preachers out there are all pointing you to be part of the church. You got to be a part of the organized church.
Right.
And that is what this is. It's the cause that as many would not worship the image of the beast. And this is what I came up against. I wouldn't submit to the apostate authority of the elder board at my church, because they were in apostasy. God had shown me clearly that they had fallen from sound doctrine, and I stood up against it, and I was killed. I was metaphorically killed. I was cut off from the fellowship for having the audacity to point out some deception that the Lord had shown me. And, it was brutal. It was brutal. And I saw a scorpion's eyes. I saw him look at me as he... My one joke I get out of this thing is it's like I had an audible voice telling me to get out. Well, I did have a literal, audible voice, the head elder, speaking for the whole elder board that I was standing in front of, told me to get out, my membership of 20 years was revoked in writing, and I was not to set foot on church property. And, that's what I went through. But this was all the persecution, the hail that swept away the lies, because as all this was happening to me, was when all the awakening was happening, and the Lord was revealing a secret to me. And, you know, it's all part of it. You know, I'm going to tell you something. I had a rough weekend. I had a lot of perplexity, issues, you know, challenges. You know, my ex-wife, I got divorced over this thing, you know. She, this thing split my family in half, and it's been brutal. But I've been in agony over her soul in prayer. And, you know, this was my weekend, you know, wrestling with the, you know, whatever was happening in the spiritual realm. But I'm telling you what, out of that, I got a revelation tonight, you know. It's the way it works, and it's awesome. And I praise the Lord. And even through the time of this show, over the last hour and a half, 2 hours, I'm just revived, you know, and I'm excited. And I'm just thankful that the Lord's included me in his plan. Okay, I'm really done now, Bob.
Well, thank you, Brother Chris.
I'd like to add real quickly that what you said about the church and everything, that transmits over to the political side, too, is if you're not politically correct.
Oh. And they're lockstep with a picture of...
They're lockstep, right. They're locked in.
The woman riding the beast. That's the church riding the back of the government
yep.
beast. Yeah, and it's all happening right now. And that's the picture we had in the show last week was the statue out front of the European Union in Brussels.
That's right.
You know, and it's the woman, the harlot, riding the back of the beast. And they're proud of it. See, they're proud of it. They're flaunting it. They know scripture. You know, and they're following the script. You know.
Oh, I'm
yes.
sure, yeah, Satan knows the script very well.
They don't have the understanding we do. And it's just absolutely amazing. You know, like the example of, you know, Todd Bentley having Joel's Army dog tags tattooed to his chest. I mean, he has no clue what he's doing, you know. And it's just absolutely amazing how this thing is all happening in front of our eyes.
Audience, in closing, I'd like to thank both Chris and Bill. We're told in John 14:5, audience, and this is the most important aspect of this show in terms of tying this all together. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. And being yet present, audience, is to stay. It's to abide, it's continue, dwell, endure, be present, remain, stand, tarry. Thy own. And that's the admonition of the Lord. He's with you in this. For the whole endureth of the show. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. This is Bob Garrity for Bill Johnson and Chris Ardern. Good night. Windows 3.
I'm wondering.